This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, April 17th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, China is phasing out its use of foreign chips in its telecommunications systems. WSJ China Tech editor Lisa Lin tells us how that could affect some of America's biggest chip makers. And then, how easy is it to set up a fully automated, AI-powered propaganda machine? Apparently, very easy. WSJ contributor Jack Brewster gave it a try and tells us what it means for the spread of disinformation on the internet. But first, for years, China has been trying to wean itself off the foreign technology that underpins its telecommunication systems. It's for the interests of its national security, but also as a push for self-sufficiency in its tech industry. Now, it looks like the country may finally accomplish this. WSJ China Tech editor Lisa Lin is here to tell us what that could mean for the global chip industry. Lisa, China is trying to cut American chipmakers out of its telecommunications systems. What does this mean on a practical level?
This is the latest iteration in China's drive to localize most of its tech infrastructure. So it's really starting with the state-owned and the state sector, and that's why the telecom companies are involved. Because in China, the version of what is the AT&T and T-Mobile in the US, in China, it's state-linked. So that's why these orders are just a lot easier to pass down. So what it really means in reality is these wireless carriers, they have a lot of infrastructure that power and keep data from its mobile subscribers. So they have a ton of servers that keep such data. These servers are historically powered by Intel and AMD processors. So CPUs that really kind of are the brains of the servers. So in reality, what this means is China's state-owned enterprise telecom operators have been asked to wean themselves off these chips, move them to domestic alternatives.
And what are the American companies that would be affected by this? How big an impact could that have on their business?
The biggest American companies to be impacted would be Intel and AMD. And that's because in the telecom network, your highest margin products and your most high-end chips would be the CPUs. And Intel and AMD essentially have a chokehold of the market globally, not just in China. What this means for Intel and AMD is also additional attrition in a market which are both hugely important to the two companies. For Intel, China is their largest market. 27% of their revenue last year came from China. For AMD, China used to be its biggest international market until the US blocked it from selling high-end chips to China in 2022.
You mentioned that China has been wanting to do this for a while. Why is it really taking hold now?
The biggest reason is because there are local alternatives now. So they've been trying to wean off American chips for a long time. But in the past, Chinese chips just weren't very workable, or they didn't have good enough alternatives that could replace Intel or AMD. So right now, you have a handful of Chinese companies who are actually making workable CPUs that are not powered by the x86 architecture that Intel and AMD have a lot of IP to. They're using ARM. So these Chinese alternatives have made it possible for China to push ahead with this localization drive.
What has China said about this?
So we've approached China Mobile, China Telecom, and the Chinese Ministry for Industry and Information Technology, and all three have not responded to comment.
And how about the companies Intel and AMD?
Intel declined to comment, AMD did not respond.
Big picture, what might China's phase out of American chips mean for the technology war with the U.S.?
What this means, big picture, is a further decoupling of the tech ecosystems between China and the US. Right now, we're already seeing the consumer internet space very decoupled. Increasingly, we're also seeing enterprise software and other software and other hardware as well being decoupled. So this is just another step in that decoupling.
That was China Tech editor Lisa Lin. Coming up, what can you get with $100? How about your own AI-powered website that's used disinformation? More on that after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at GT.com.
Disinformation is rampant online, and generative artificial intelligence makes it all the more powerful. Jack Brewster, a WSJ contributor and enterprise editor at misinformation watchdog NewsGuard, wanted to see just how easy it would be to make his own fully automated AI-generated news website. He joins me now with more on the experiment and what it reveals about how disinformation is spread on the internet. What got you interested in creating a fake news site?
So at NewsGuard, the company that I work for, we've identified more than 700 of these sites, these AI content farms, we call them, which are basically sites that were set up to generate automatically hundreds, if not thousands, of articles a day. And I was curious about how easy it would be to create one of these. And the answer was extremely easy. And $100 or sometimes even less on one of these sites that I use, like Fiverr. So it shows that anyone can start these websites with just a couple $100 or $100 and no expertise whatsoever.
So you decided to give this a shot. What was the kind of overall architecture you were going for?
So I wanted to make it as partisan as possible to show that this technology could be weaponized. So I designed it to look like an Ohio local news site. I named it the Buckeye State Press, which sounds trustworthy. And I made it cover some benign Ohio news. And then once the website was created for me, I tailored it to cover Ohio politics in a very partisan way.
Overall, how much did it cost you and how did those costs break down?
So it cost me $80 to pay the developer on Fiverr.com, which is one of these freelance websites, and then about $25 for the hosting and the domain. And then there is some ongoing recurring costs that I would incur if I was keeping this website up, which include ChatGPT, which is about $1 to $3 a month. So that means basically for all the articles that I'm producing, it costs me $1 to $3 per month to pay my quote-unquote writer to produce hundreds or thousands of articles a day, and then just recurring costs related to hosting. The one-time fee was $105, and the recurring costs were $10, basically.
So ChatGPT was writing the articles that populated the site. Where did the news itself come from? How did ChatGPT get it?
Most of it, we think, comes from articles produced by mainstream sources. Everything that I've found so far came from regular outlets that people encounter in Ohio politics or even national news sources. Even it could be the Wall Street Journal. Basically, any site on Google News can be crawled by this website and then fed through a chatbot to spit out articles. So it was copying and rewriting articles from outside sources without credit.
How good were the articles that it actually spat out?
A lot of them made sense. I tailored it to start producing articles that were favorable of the Ohio Republican Senate candidate, Bernie Moreno. And then 2 days later, I switched it to be favorable towards the Democratic candidate, Sherrod Brown. Sometimes they hallucinate, though, and they make up things. And the issue here is that this took me minutes to do, but it's not hard to imagine a world where someone with a little bit more expertise than me could just tailor the model to produce really good, really convincing articles, because some of them that were produced seem like they could be running in a regular newspaper. And often what happens is that people don't encounter these articles on the websites themselves. They see them first on X, on Instagram, on Google. We've decoupled news from news sources. It poses a big problem when it comes to things like this.
Yeah, speaking of news sources, I mean, did your site actually start getting traffic?
So I put it behind a password because I didn't want it to actually contribute to the problem that I was trying to highlight. And I made sure that it wasn't publishing articles to Google or anything.
In your piece, you call AI content farms a, quote, easy passive investment. How did these sites actually make money? Did you make money from it?
No, but I could. So what I would do if I wanted to make money is basically submitted to Google to have ads run it. I mean, we've seen hundreds of the sites that we've identified that are actually out in the wild, like these AI content farms, rake in ad dollars using Google ad widgets. And all I would do is just plop some code on my site from Google. And suddenly ads from major companies would start appearing on my site. And if I got enough traffic, I would start getting money from that.
What does your experience tell us about how AI could be used to spread disinformation?
AI turbocharges misinformation. And what AI has done is that it's democratized the troll farms. In 2016, Russia set up basically just buildings where they hired tons of freelancers to come and write hundreds or thousands of articles in an effort to try and swing the 2016 election. And those articles were published on Facebook and elsewhere. That's a troll farm. Well, now with AI, we've basically democratized it. So it's lowered the barrier to entry for bad actors. So now anyone with no expertise whatsoever can launch their own troll farm, just like Russia did in 2016.
That was WSJ contributor Jack Brewster. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang, with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osalove for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.